Okay, so this week we are learning Yevamos Daf Ches, which is exciting because it's the thrilling conclusion to a question that we asked all the way back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. So let's just recap where exactly we're holding in the Masechta. So we had a question about the case of Yibum. Again, to review, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and then Shimon dies. So there's a mitzvah of Reuven to marry Shimon's surviving wife. And we taught a pasuk to tell us that that's not always the case. Because if Shimon's surviving wife is prohibited to Reuven for some other reason, for example, if it's Reuven's daughter, or as we're going to deal with a lot today, it's Reuven's wife's sister. So in that case, the Torah tells us, the Pasuk says, Aleha, that you should not do Yibum in that situation. And we had a question. Why do I need a Pasuk to tell me not to do Yibum to my daughter, to marry my daughter, or to marry my wife's sister? That should be obvious. The Torah says you're not allowed to marry your daughter, not allowed to marry your wife's sister. We had a whole list of 15 prohibitions, 15 of the arayos, the forbidden relationships, which we're not allowed to marry. So I should know without the pasuk. Why is there a pasuk to tell me not to do yibum over here? Or why would I have thought that you should do yibum to marry your daughter or your wife's sister? So that was the question that we've been grappling with for quite some time. That's a question we asked on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and that question continued through some discussions of Aseh Doch Elos Aseh and Daf Dalet and Daf Hey. But more recently on Daf Zayin, we started to suggest an answer which is actually going to be the first answer that we actually solidify and go with. And so in today's Daf, we're going to suggest three answers to that question, three explanations as to why I would have thought that you should do Yibum with an Erva, that you should do Yibum even if Shimon's surviving wife was forbidden to you because it's your wife's sister, or whatever the example is going to be. And so the answer that we started with last week on Daf Zayin Amud Beis was based on the concept of Hoel V'Ishtari Ishtari. Hoel V'Ishtari Ishtari is just a general rule, which broadly speaking says that when we have already permitted prohibition A, then we may as well also permit prohibition B. So maybe that's the reason the Gemara suggested. Maybe that's the reason why I would think that you should do Yibum even with your wife's sister, for example. Why? Because every case of Yibum, we discussed this way back in the Masechta, in the introduction to the Masechta, every case of Yibum is a case of Eish Esach. It's your brother's wife. Generally speaking, you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife. It's prohibited for you to marry your brother's wife. And yet still there's a mitzvah of Yibum saying we permit you. We already lifted the prohibition of Eish Esach. We allow you to marry your brother's wife for Yibum. And so therefore, based on the concept of Hol V'Ishtari Ishtari, once we have already permitted one prohibition, we already permit you to marry your brother's wife for Yibum, maybe we should permit many other prohibitions. We should also allow you to marry your daughter for Yibum, or to marry your wife's sister for Yibum, whatever the case may be. And so that was the first suggestion that we had brought. That was just what our first answer is going to be today, based on the introduction we had on Daf Zayin Amud Beis of Hoel V'Ishtari Ishtari. So where does that rule come from? How do we know that rule is a rule? So we started bringing an example from a Mitzora Bal Keri. So to give the background for that case one more time to review what we were talking about. A Mitzora is a person who is afflicted with Tzara'as, and coming along with that is many prohibitions that are correlated with this Mitzora, that he's not allowed to do certain things. One of which is he's not allowed to enter certain places of Kedusha. So for the first several days of his Mitzora status, he has to stay totally away from all of Bnei Yisrael. And he has to start this purification process. And after 7 days of the purification process, he's allowed to enter back into the camp with the rest of Eretz Yisrael, but he's still not allowed to enter into the Azara. The Azara is the place where the Karbanos, where all the sacrifices are brought. And that presents a problem, because the part of the purification process for the Mitzora is that he has to not only bring a Karban on day 8, but we have to have the blood of that carbon sprinkled on his right thumb and on his right big toe and on his right earlobe. But the dilemma is as follows. Because the Mitzora is not allowed to enter into the Azara. And that blood is currently located in the Azara. So you have a problem. You have to get this blood on the Mitzora's thumbs somehow. The problem is the blood is currently in the Azara. And you can't bring the Mitzora to the blood because he can't enter the Azara. And you can't bring the blood to the Mitzora because there's also a halacha that the blood is not allowed to leave the Azara. So what are you supposed to do? So Chazal tell us that the Mitzora is supposed to stand outside of the Azara and stick his thumb into the Azara, and then the Kohen's going to place the blood onto his thumb. That's how we try to circumvent the issue. He stands outside and he sticks his thumb inside. But that still presents a problem for Ula, because Ula holds that not only can a Mitzora not fully enter into the Azara, but he can't even have a partial entrance into the Azara. So what does it help? He shouldn't be allowed to stick his thumbs into the Azara either. And so Ula says that we had to lift the prohibition of a Mitzora to enter the Azara, because what are we going to do? Our hands are tied. The only way for this Mitzora to become purified is to stick his hand into the Azara. And so even though it should be prohibited, we lift that prohibition. That's going to be our first ishtri. We already lifted the prohibition of a Mitzora to stick his thumb into the Azara, because that's what we had to do. The extra twist to the mix was that this person, not only was he Mitzora, but on the eighth day when he's ready, he wakes up on the eighth day in the morning, and now he's ready, he's going to bring his karban and become pure, and then that day, in the morning of the eighth day, he also became a Baal Keri. He also had a seminal emission, which, along with several different characteristics that this or rules that the Baal Keri has to follow, one of which is, again, the Baal Keri is also not allowed to enter into the Azara. And so now we have a question. Is this person allowed to stick his thumbs into the Azara? And Ula says, yes, absolutely. Isn't it a problem? Because a Baal Keri isn't supposed to stick his thumbs into the Azara? So Ula says, it's totally fine, based on this rule of Hoil the Ishtari. Once we permit this person who's a Mitzora to stick his thumbs into the Azara, and that should be a problem. A Mitzora isn't allowed to stick his thumbs into the Azara, but we permitted it, because what are we supposed to do? He has to become pure somehow. Once we've already lifted the prohibition of a Mitzora to enter his thumb into the Azara, we're going to also permit other Isurim that come on in the future. For example, this person who also became a Baal Keri, we're going to allow him to still put his thumbs into the Azara. Shouldn't it be a problem because a Baal Keri isn't allowed to go into the Azara? The answer is, yeah, but once we permit this person to do it, because even though he's a Mitzora, we're going to also permit this person to do it, even though he happens to now also be a Baal Keri. So that's the example we had last week. It's going to be a little important as it comes up slightly on today's daf as well, on Daf Ches, but that's the rule of Hoel v'Ishtari, Ishtari. And so to bring it back to our case in Yibum, so to review where we are, so we said that a pasuk tells me don't do yibum with an erva, with a forbidden relationship. For example, with your wife's sister. Don't do yibum with your wife's sister. We ask the question, why is there a pasuk to tell me that? Why would I think that I should do yibum and marry my wife's sister? The Torah says it's prohibited to marry your wife's sister. So now we're suggesting answer number one. Answer number one is, I would have thought that we should be allowed to do yibum even though it's my wife's sister, based on the rule of Hoel v'Ishtari Ishtari. Hoel v'Ishtari Ishtari says that once prohibition A has been lifted, we're going to also lift prohibition B. And so prohibition A, in our case, is Eshes Ach. This woman that you're going to do Yibam with is already prohibited because it's your brother's wife, but we lifted that prohibition because every case of Yibam, right? Every case of Yibam is you marrying your brother's wife, which should be a problem, but we've already lifted that prohibition. So once we permit that prohibition, maybe we should also permit future prohibitions as well, like this person also happens to be your wife's sister, or your daughter, or your mother-in-law, etc., etc. So I would have thought that you should do Yibam. The pasuk comes and tells me, no, don't do Yibam. Don't say, Hoel v'Ishtari Ishtari, don't do Yibam in this situation. So that's where we ended off on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, and we are now going to ask a question on that answer. And that is that really Hoel v'Ishtari Ishtari has one more criteria. In order to say that once we permit prohibition A, we should also permit prohibition B, it has to be that prohibition A came first. That prohibition A took effect before prohibition B. And so now let's plug that into our case of Yibum. So prohibition A is Eshes Ach, this is your brother's wife, and prohibition B is that it's Achos Isha. It could be any of the 15 examples in our Mishnah, but we're going to stick in our Gemara with the example of Achos Isha. Prohibition B is that it's your wife's sister. So in that case, in order to say hol ve'ishtri ishtri, it has to be that first it was your brother's wife, and then secondly, later on in the timeline, it also became your wife's sister. So I'm just going to share a diagram so we can have a better visual understanding of how exactly that works. I think it's this one. Okay, so... yeah, over here. So we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and we have two sisters, Rachel and Leah. So our case is going to be, in order to have it, that it's Achos Isha, it's your wife's sister, you have Reuven and Shimon are brothers. This is always our case in Yibum. Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and then Shimon dies. The mitzvah of Yibum is that Reuven should marry Shimon's surviving wife. But in this case, the extra twist is that Reuven's surviving wife, Leah, in this, based on this diagram over here, is Reuven's wife's sister. Because, right, of course, Rachel and Leah are sisters. Rachel, Leah's sister, is Reuven's wife. So over here we have a situation where Reuven is expected to do Yibum with Leah. The problem is that Leah is Reuven's wife's sister. So that's our case of Achos Isha. And so now the Gemara suggests, how can we apply Hol Ve'ishtri Ishtri over here? Again, to review, we need it to be that in order to say that once we permit Prohibition A, then we're also going to permit Prohibition B, it has to be that Prohibition A came first, namely Eishes Ach. This person being your brother's wife has to take effect first, and then it's going to become your wife's sister. So what does that mean? So let's just say that out right now in the Gemara, starting off with the last three words on Daf Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara asks, Mi dami lida'ula? Is our case really comparable to Ula? Can we really apply Hol Ve'ishtri Ishtri over here? Tenach hecha denasa meis, the achar kach nasa chai. I understand. Granted, it works well in the following case. In the following case, we're going to have Prohibition A come before Prohibition B. That it becomes Eishes Ach before it becomes Achos Isha. How? Hecha denasa meis, the achar kach nasa chai. Where first the mace got married, and then the chai, the living person, got married. So who's the mace? There are no dead people getting married. The mace is what we call Shimon. Shimon, the one who is going to die, in our example of Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon dies, Shimon is going to be our mace. So in that case, Hecha the Nasa Mace, when Shimon got married first, so let's think about this. Shimon gets married. Stop right there. So based on our diagram, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon gets married to Leah. So right there, you have a prohibition of Eishes Ach. This is Reuven's brother's wife, and therefore he is prohibited to her. And then Nasa Chai. Then Reuven happens to go and get married to that person's sister, and then an Achos Isha prohibition gets tagged on as well. It also happens to be Reuven's wife's sister after the fact. So in that case, we're going to say, Hol Ve'ishtri Ishtri, that Migo de Ishtari Iser Eishes Ach, Ishtari Nami Iser Achos Isha, because we have Prohibition A coming before Prohibition B. Shimon gets married, then we have Eishes Ach takes effect, it's Reuven's brother's wife, and then Achos Isha, because then Reuven gets married, and it becomes Reuven's wife's sister. So then I understand we'll say Hol Ve'ishtri Ishtri. Ela nasa chai ve'achar kach nasa meis. But let's say first Reuven got married. So let's think about this. First Reuven gets married. Stop right there. So what's Leah to Reuven? Leah is Reuven's wife's sister. There's no Eishes Ach. Shimon's still a single guy. So then what happens? And then ve'achar kach nasa meis. And then Shimon happens to go ahead and marry Leah. He marries Reuven's wife's sister. So in that case, we don't have Prohibition A coming before Prohibition B. So in that case, Isser Achos Isha Kadim. So how can we say Hol Ve'ishtri Ishtri if the prohibition of Achos Isha, your wife's sister, was the first prohibition? We need Eishes Ach to be the first prohibition. So that's question number one. And then, even, so we said it works great if Shimon got married first. But you have a second question. Afilu Nasa Meis Nami. Even if Shimon got married first, we still have a problem. Tenach hecha de nasa mace, the achar kach nasa chai. It works great only if Shimon got married first, and then Shimon died, and then Reuven got married. Why? Because now we're going to add one more criteria. So let's introduce this idea as well. First criteria we had was that in order to say Hol Ve'ishtri Ishtri, that once we permit Prohibition A, we're going to also permit Prohibition B. First criteria we had, Prohibition A has to come first. Second criteria we're going to add right now is not only does prohibition A have to take effect first, but it has to be permitted before prohibition B even comes along. You have to have, in our example, eshes ach, that it's your brother's wife, and then that prohibition becomes permitted, and then we'll say that all future prohibitions that come about, if it ends up also being your wife's sister, then we'll say holva ishtri, that those future prohibitions are permitted as well. So that's what the Gemara says in our case, the filu nasa mes nami tenach, it only works hecha de nasa mes va mes the achar kach nasa chai, that first Shimon gets married and then Shimon dies. So let's go through this. Shimon gets, step one, Shimon gets married. So what does that mean? So Shimon marries his wife Leah. That person is prohibited to Reuven because it is eshes ach, it's his brother's wife. And then step two, va mes, Shimon dies. So that means that prohibition has been lifted. Eshes ach, which was prohibited, now becomes mutter, because that's what Yibum is. Yibum is that you go and you marry your brother's surviving wife. And then the achar kach nasachai, and then Reuven gets married, and that woman now becomes an achos isha. So then we'll say, holva ishtri. Prohibition A was lifted before prohibition even came into the game. The chazilei de beini beini. There was a moment where Shimon's wife was permitted. Ela nasa meis velo meis v'achar kach nasachai. But if Shimon did not die in the interim, then lo echazia leklal. There was never, prohibition A was not lifted before prohibition B came around. And in that case, we're not going to say hol v'ishtri ishtri. Why? Because mi lo modi ula, does ula not agree that we don't say hol v'ishtri ishtri unless prohibition A had already been lifted before prohibition B came around? For example, she'imra'a keri, if that didn't happen. Meaning let's say imra'a keri b'leil shmini. This person is a Metzora, and on the eighth day, when the sun shines in the morning, that's when he's able to go and bring his karban. But let's say the Baal Keri, this person had a seminal emission at nighttime, before he had become permitted. Namely, before the prohibition of Metzora had been lifted, prohibition B of Baal Keri already came into play. So in that case, wouldn't Ula agree? She'ein machnis yadav libehonos? She'lo yatza b'sha'a she'hira'uya Lehavi ba karban? Ula would agree in that case that we're not going to say hol v'ishtri ishtri. He won't be allowed to enter his thumbs and his thumb and his toe into the azara, because we're not going to say hol v'ishtri ishtri unless prohibition A, or the mitzora, has been lifted before prohibition B, the Baal Keri, came into play. So what we have essentially said is that hol v'ishtri ishtri is great, but it only applies to a very specific case. What we're going to call the case when Shimon gets married first, and then Shimon dies, and then Reuven comes around. In that case, we can say hol v'ishtri ishtri. Prohibition A was lifted before prohibition B came around. But in all the other cases, how can we even say hol v'ishtri ishtri? And the Gemara says, you're right, but that's good enough. The Gemara says, Ela ki itzterich aleha? When do I need a pasuk to tell me that you should not do yibum with your wife's sister or any erva? Hecha de nasa meis v'meis v'acharkach nasa chai. That specific case, the case when Shimon got married first, and then Shimon died, and then Reuven got married to Shimon's wife's sister. In that specific case, where hol v'ishtri ishtri makes sense, then we need a pasuk. Because I would have said, without the pasuk, yes, you should go ahead and do yibum, even with your wife's sister. Because hol v'ishtri ishtri, we should lift that prohibition, just like we lifted the prohibition of eshes ach. But the pasuk comes and tells me, no, don't do yibum with any of the forbidden relationships, any of the arayos. So that is the conclusion of answer number one, based on this rule of hol v'ishtri ishtri. It's very interesting. There is a practical halacha l'maisa application, or not l'maisa, but a situation that comes up l'maisa. We don't paskin this way, but let's just talk it out. Unfortunately, we're actually getting pretty close to the 9 days. There's a minhag to not eat meat during the 9 days. There's a question that comes up in the poskim. We're allowed to eat meat on Shabbos. What about Shabbos leftovers on Sunday and on Monday? I made food for Shabbos and I have leftover chalent. Can I eat that leftover chalent on Sunday, even though I'm not supposed to eat meat during the 9 days? Maybe it should be permitted. The Chidah very interestingly says, based on our rule of Hol V'Ishtri Ishtri, you're allowed to eat Shabbos leftovers during the 9 days. Why? Because once the prohibition was lifted, because you made it on Shabbos, and it was permitted, so we're going to ignore all future prohibitions, and we'll let you continue to eat those leftovers even during the rest of the 9 days, on Sunday and Monday, even though it happens to be still the 9 days, which is a tremendous Chiddush, and we do not paskin that way, so don't try that at home. We, Lamaisa, do not do that. But the Chidah, interestingly, applies this rule of Hol V'Ishtri Ishtri, which until now we've been applying to cases that aren't so halacha Lamaisa, like Mitzorah and Yibum, but it could also be applied to other situations like Shabbos leftovers during the 9 days. Let's move on to answer number two. Again, why would I think you should do Yibum with an Erva, with a forbidden relationship, like your wife's sister, that the Pasuk has to come and tell me don't do Yibum? Why would I think that you should do Yibum? So now we have answer number two. Ve'i ba yisema, or you can give us alternative answer, Asya behekesha mid Rabbi Yonah. I would think that you should do Yibum based on the hekesh of Rabbi Yonah. A hekesh is where we have two different ideas that are linked in a Pasuk, and therefore whatever halacha we have by one, we're going to apply to another. So what's our hekish? The Amar Rabbi Yonah v'itema Rav Huna breder Rabbi Yoshua Amar Kra, the pasuk says ki kol asher yaseh mikol ha'toevos ha'ele v'nichrisu. After listing, this is in Parshas Acharemos, after it lists all of the arayos, all of the all of the forbidden relationships, it then has one summarizing pasuk which says, by the way, kol asher yaseh, if you do any mikol ha'toevos ha'ele, any of these abominations, v'nichrasu, you're going to be punished with kares. So we have one pasuk which links all of the forbidden relationships together. As the Gemara says, Hokshu kol ha'arayos kulan, all of the arayos are linked together. I mean, one way of saying it is that they're all linked to Eshesach. Right? Because they have one pasuk which essentially references all of the, let's call them the 15 arayos which we listed in our Mishnah. One pasuk references and links all of the 15 arayos, which basically you can say that if there's a halacha by one of them, for example, Eshes Ach is permitted for Yibum purposes, that should apply to all of the arayos. So a hokshu kulon the Eshes Ach. Ma Eshes Ach Sharia, just like Eshes Ach, your brother's wife, is permitted for Yibum. After all, that's what Yibum is all about, marrying your brother's wife. So Ach kol arayos nami sharyan. We should also permit all of the other forbidden relationships as well. That's what I would have thought. Why you should do Yibum even with one of the arayos. So, Kasa Rahmana, Aleha. So the Pasuk comes and tells me, no, Aleha is specifically by your wife's sister. And the Torah tells me with the word Aleha that you should not do Yibum with your wife's sister. And so now we have this summarizing Pasuk which links all of the arayos together. But we have one of them where there's an explicit Pasuk saying you can do Yibum, it's permitted. That's by Eshes Ach, your brother's wife. Another one, Achos Isha, we have an explicit Drasha telling us it is prohibited, that you cannot do Yibum. And so what we essentially said is don't say that they're all linked to Ach Eshes Ach and therefore permitted. Let's instead say they're all linked to Achos Isha and therefore they're all going to be prohibited. The Gemara now asks, Amar le Rav Acha midifti le Ravina, michti kol arayos ikolaku shinhu le Eshes Ach ve'ikolaku shinhu le Achos Isha. At the end of the day, we have two viable options here. We can either say through a hekish that they're all linked to Eshes Ach and permitted for Yibum, or we can say through a hekish that they're all linked to Achos Isha, your wife's sister, and therefore prohibited for Yibum. So my chaz is to akashta la achos isha akshinu the eshesach. Why do we say in the end of the day that you link them all to your wife's sister and therefore they're all prohibited? We should instead say the opposite, that they're linked to eshesach and then say that they should be permitted for yibum. Why do we choose one route to say that everyone's prohibited for yibum as opposed to picking the other route and saying everyone is permitted for yibum? And so the Gemara gives two answers to this question. Iba yisema, answer number one, lekula v'chumra lechumra makshinan. If we have two options, we have two paths. One is more lenient and one is more strict. We're going to always pick the more strict option. You want to play it safe. You don't want to go permitting things that really maybe should have been prohibited. So if you have two options, one the kula, one the chumra, we're going to go the chumra and pick the more strict path and say that everyone is prohibited. All of the arayos, the forbidden relationships, are prohibited for Yibum. Ibaisema, or another answer, Hacha Tre Isure, the Hacha Tre Isure. It makes more sense to link everything to Achos Isha. Why? Because Achos Isha is two prohibitions. So let's think about this. What's the case of Yibum? I can actually stop sharing this screen because it's not super important anymore. But what's our case of Yibam? The case of Yibam is where it's your brother's wife. Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon dies. You have to go ahead and do Yibam with Shimon's surviving wife. That, by default, Yibam is always going to have one prohibition of Eish Esach that's technically in the mix, which we're going to say that we're maybe going to permit in some cases. But then you also have, by Achos Isha, a second prohibition on top of that, which is that it, not only is it your brother's wife, but it's also your wife's sister. And by all of the Arayos as well, it's not only is it your brother's wife, but it's also your daughter. Not only is it your brother's wife, but it's also your mother-in-law. So all of the cases of the Arayos are two prohibitions, Eish Esach plus the Erba. But by Eish Esach, that's just one prohibition. That's just the prohibition of Eish Esach that's over here. So when we have an option, the Gemara says, Hacha Trei Isurei, Vitrei Mitrei Yalfinan. It makes more sense to link everything, which is two prohibitions, to Achos Isha, which is two prohibitions. As opposed, Aval Hacha Chada Isura, the case of Eish Esach, your brother's wife, that's the standard case of Yibam. There's only one prohibition of Eish Esach in the mix. Vitrei Michada La Yalfinan. It does not make sense to learn all these Arayos, which are a double prohibition of Eish Esach plus the Erva. We shouldn't connect that to the single prohibition of Eish Esach. So that's why in the end of the day, we say that everybody is prohibited for Yibum, because we're going to compare them through a Hekish to Achos Isha. So to summarize, we now have two answers to our question. Our question for today is, why is there a pasuk telling me not to do Yibum with, for example, my wife's sister? I would know not to do Yibum with my wife's sister. Answer one number one is, I would have thought you should do Yibum with your wife's sister because all the ishtri, in that very specific case like we discussed. Answer number two is, I would have thought you should do Yibum with your wife's sister based on a hekish to Eish Esach, that just like Eish Esach is permitted for Yibum because that's what Yibum is, you shouldn't be allowed to marry your brother's sister, but we permit that for Yibum purposes. So let's link all of the Arayos to Eish Esach and say that for any Arayos that come into play, we should permit them as well. So the pasuk comes and tells me, Aleha, that no, don't say such a hekish. So those are the first two answers to our question. And now we're going to embark on a third answer, which is the answer, the final answer for the day, which is the answer of Rava. Rava Omar, Erva lo tzricha kra. Rava says a fascinating answer. You're asking me, why is there a pasuk telling me not to do yibum with my wife's sister? I should know without a pasuk not to do yibum with my wife's sister. Rava says you're exactly right. We don't need a pasuk to tell me not to do yibum with an erva. What is the pasuk teaching me? I'm sorry, rather, lo tzricha kra. Why? De ein asei doche lo sase sheyesh bo kares. Because a positive commandment of Yibum is not going to override the negative commandment of the erva, the forbidden relationship, which is punishable with kares. So what is the pasuk coming to teach me if I would know that I'm right? I know I can't do Yibum. I can't marry my wife's sister. I can't marry my daughter. So what is the pasuk coming to teach me? So Rava says, ki itzrich kra lemesar sara. The pasuk is coming to tell me that you do not have to do Yibum with the co-wife either. So let's review with the cases of the co-wife, which we discussed way back earlier in the Masechta. Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon dies. So Reuven has to do Yibum with Shimon's wife. Let's say Shimon has two wives. So Shimon has one wife, which is, for example, Reuven's daughter, and he also has another wife, the co-wife of Reuven's daughter. So obviously Reuven can't marry his daughter, so that wife is out of the picture. But what about the other wife? Shimon has another wife. Maybe Reuven should do Yibum with that one? The pasuk tells me Aleha that no, co-wives are prohibited for Yibum as well. So not only is the erva, but the tzara is also, and that's what the pasuk is coming to teach me. I know the erva you can't do Yibum with, but even the co-wife you can't do Yibum with. The Gemara now asks on Rava a couple of questions. The erva lo tzricha kra, is it true that you don't need a pasuk to teach me that you should not do Yibum with an erva herself, with your daughter, or with your wife's sister? But the wording of the Gemara way back on Gimel Amid Beis does not seem to imply that. Because the Gemara says, Vahatanya, ein li elahi. If we think back to the Gemara on Gimel Amid Beis, the way that we phrased all of the drashos was that we quoted a pasuk of Aleha, which says, don't do Yibum. And then we said, ein li elahi tzarasa minayin, that I only know you shouldn't do Yibum with the erva herself, with your wife's sister, but what about the tzara, what about the co-wife? That implies that Aleha was teaching me something about the erva, and then we're further asking about the co-wife afterwards. Ein li elahi sounds like we learned something about the erva herself. The Gemara says, no, mishum tsarasa. That was all just a buildup. Really, I know that an erva is prohibited for yibum. When we said, all I know is that an erva is prohibited, what about a co-wife? We really were just trying to get to the main question of, what about a co-wife? But I really already knew the halacha that an erva is prohibited for yibum purposes. The Gemara asks a second, a very similar question, and the same exact answer, v'haktani ein li elahein. The Gemara had a very similar lashon a few lines later, when it was talking about not just your wife's sister, but all of the prohibitions, and it had that same line of ein li elahein, all I know is that the arayos are prohibited, what about the co-wives? Doesn't that lashon imply, that formulation implies that I learned something from the pasuk about the erva herself? The Mara says, no, mishum tsaroseyan. That was, again, just building up to our main question about the co-wives, and the pasuk's main drasha was teaching me that the co-wives are exempt and prohibited from yibum as well. The Gemara asks another question on Rava. Rava, you say that an erva herself doesn't need a pasuk. I know you shouldn't do yibum with an erva, but look at the following brisa. Tashma, Rebbe Omer, v'lakach ulakacha, v'yibim v'yibma, lesor tsaros v'arayos. So until now, we've been having this pasuk of Aleha. Aleha is a pasuk in Acharemos, and that's what our source has been for the fact that you should not do yibum with a co-wife. Rebbe has a different pasuk. He has a pasuk of Ulekacha v'yibma. And he says, the pasuk says Ulekacha. You should, it's talking about yibum, obviously. It says Ulekacha, you should marry her, and v'yibma, you should do yibum with her. Why doesn't it just say v'lakach and v'yavim? What's the extra hey coming to teach me? Not only is it just an extra letter, but it seems like it's exclusionary. You should do yibum with her. Don't do yibum with someone else. You should marry her. Don't marry someone else. So what's that coming to exclude? Rebbe says, lesor tsaros ve'arayos. It's to exclude co-wives and arayos and the forbidden relationship itself. Your wife's sister herself you shouldn't do yibum with. So that seems to imply that we need a pasuk to tell me not to do yibum with the erva herself. The Gemara answers, no, we're reading it wrong. Ema le'esor tsaros shel arayos. He just meant, this pasuk teaches me not to do yibum with the co-wives of the arayos, but the arayos themselves, I would know. That's not being learned from a pasuk. That I know on my own. Because of course you can't marry your daughter. You can't do yibum with your daughter either. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'hatrei kraika nasavle. He quoted two psukim. He can't quote two psukim and instead they're both coming to teach me just one thing about co-wives and teach me nothing about arayos? My lav chad le'erva v'chad le'tzara. Isn't it that one pasuk is teaching me not to do yibum with the erva, with the forbidden relationship herself, and one pasuk is teaching me not to do yibum with the co-wife as well? The Gemara says, no. Lo, idi ve'idi litzara, chad lemesar tzara b'mako mitzvah, v'chad lemishri tzara shelo b'mako mitzvah. Really, both psukim are teaching me something about the tzara, about the co-wife. I don't need any psukim, as Rava said, for the erva herself, that I would know on my own, based on my own logic. The pasuk is teaching me two things about co-wives. On the one hand, it's teaching me that co-wives are prohibited for yibum. On the other hand, it's teaching me that co-wives are permitted in every other situation. Right? Co-wives are a yibum thing. There's no problem of a co-wife of just like, forget yibum, but your daughter gets married to someone and that someone also has another wife. A co-wife of your daughter. That's not a problem in a run-of-the-day case. It's only a yibum problem. So only the makom mitzvah in a yibum situation are tzaros prohibited. Co-wives are prohibited, but in a non-yibum situation, co-wives are going to be permitted. That's the two psukim that Rebbe quoted, ulakacha or yibma, one's to teach me that co-wives are prohibited, and one is to teach me are prohibited in a yibum case, and one is to teach me that co-wives are permitted in a non-yibum case. So how does that read? The Gemara says, my taima, how do you fit that into the pasuk? Because the pasuk says, v'yibim v'yibma. The pasuk says, "Bemakom yibum hu de'asira tzara." A co-wife is only prohibited in a yibum situation. Shelo bemakom yibum shar yatzara, and it's only prohibited in a yibum situation. In a non-yibum situation, when there's no mitzvah of yibum here, then co-wives are totally mutter. Co-wives are not a problem in any non-yibum situations. The Gemara now brings a proof for Rava that we don't need a pasuk to teach me anything about the erva herself, and the pasuk's just teaching me about co-wives, because Amar Ravashi, Masni Sinami Deka, our Mishnah fits perfectly with Rava, because what does our Mishnah say, Diktani, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potros Tsaroseyan? Our Mishnah says that there are 15 arayos which exempt their co-wives. It doesn't say these 15 arayos themselves are exempt. The chiddush of our Mishnah, what our Mishnah comes to teach us, is these 15 arayos exempt their co-wives. Ve'ilu pituros ve'potros lo katani. It doesn't say pituros, that they themselves are exempt. That's a given, as Rava said, that I know without a pasuk. Because obviously, you can't marry your daughter, you can't marry your wife's sister. Of course you can't do yibam with your daughter, or yibam with your wife's sister. The chiddush, what we're taught from the pasuk, is that potros, they even exempt their tsaros, even the co-wives are exempt. So shma mina, that seems to fit perfectly with Rava's explanation. Of the pasuk is teaching me nothing about erva, it's teaching me something only about the co-wife. So until now, let's just clarify where we are. Rava is our third answer. Why is there a pasuk telling me not to do yibam with an erva? Rava says, that's not what the pasuk's doing at all. I know you can't do yibam with your daughter or with your wife's sister. Let's stick with the wife's sister example, because that's what our Gemara loves to talk about, because that's the pasuk of Aleha is by your wife's sister. So Rava says, I know I should do yibam with my wife's sister. The pasuk is teaching me not to do yibam with the co-wife of my wife's sister. Again, Shimon had two wives. One is my wife's sister, and one is some random girl. Not only am I pater from yibam with my wife's sister, I'm also pater from Yibam with the co-wife of my wife's sister, and that's what the pasuk comes to teach me. But now the Gemara has a question. The Gemara says, Maishna, or just to introduce it, why do I even need a pasuk to tell me not to do Yibam with the co-wife? Maishna erva delo tzricha kra, why did we say I don't need a pasuk to teach me not to do Yibam with my wife's sister, the erva, the ein ase doche lo sase sheyesh bo kares? Because we know, an ase, like of Yibam, is a positive commandment that's not going to override the lo sase of arayos. To marry your wife's sister is a terrible thing. That's punishable even with kares. And so mitzvah of yibam is not going to override that. But that logic should also follow for tsaros, for co-wives. Saranami lo tiva ikra. I shouldn't need a pasuk to tell me not to do yibam with the co-wife either. Mishum de'ena se doche lo sase sheyesh bo kares. Presumably tsaros, co-wives are also examples of things that are punishable with kares. And so just like I don't need a pasuk for the erva herself, I also shouldn't need a pasuk for the co-wife, because they're both examples of ase versus a lo sase sheyesh bo kares. Okay, sorry about that. So, the Gemara asks, why don't I need a pasuk for tsaros either? They should both equally be obvious because they are both examples of an aseh versus a los aseh sheyesh bo kares. And so obviously you can't do yibam with the person that you'd be punished kares for marrying. So I shouldn't need a pasuk for tsaros either. So Amar l'Ravacha bar Bebe Mar l'Ravina, the Gemara says, you're right, the pasuk isn't teaching me anything about that you shouldn't do yibam with your wife's sister. It's not even teaching me not to do yibam with the co-wife of my wife's sister. What is the pasuk coming to teach me? Amar l'Ravacha bar Bebe Mar l'Ravina, Hachi Kamar Mishmei D'Rava. This is what I heard in the name of Rava. Tzara Nami lo Itzrich Kra. I don't need a pasuk for the co-wife either. What's the pasuk for? Ki Itzrich Kra Lemishri Tzara Shelo B'Mako Mitzvah. It's to teach me that co-wives are just a yibam thing. As we said, there's no problem if my daughter gets married to some guy and that guy has another wife. There's no problem for me to get married to that other wife. Co-wives are only a yibum thing. They're only prohibited in a yibum context. So that's what the pasuk of Aleha is teaching me. Not that you shouldn't do yibam with an erva, or that you shouldn't do yibam with a tsaras erva. Those are both obvious. It's teaching me that you should know you're allowed to marry a co-wife of your wife's sister, for example, in a non-yibum situation. The Gemara asks, my taima, how do I learn that from this pasuk? So the Gemara fits it in. Amar kra aleha, b'makom aleha hu de asira, shelo b'makom aleha sharia. The Gemara says, this pasuk, let's think about this pasuk. This pasuk says two things. Halacha number one, isha alachosa lo sikach. You should not marry your wife's sister. Halacha number two, litzror. You should not marry the co-wife of your wife's sister. Then it says aleha to tell me that this halacha of tzara, of co-wives, that's only in a yibum context. Only b'makom aleha. Only in a yibum situation are co-wives a problem. Are co-wives prohibited for you to marry? But in a non-yibum situation, it is permitted for you to marry your the co-wife of your wife's sister, for example. So now the Gemara has essentially showed us what Rava says the answer to our question is. Why is there a pasuk to tell me not to do yibum with my daughter or my wife's sister? Rava says, that's not what the pasuk is coming to teach me. In fact, it's not even teaching me about to not do Yibam with the co-wife of my wife's sister? Because that's also equally obvious. The Pasuk is teaching me that you are allowed to marry a co-wife of your wife's sister in a non-Yibam context. That saros, co-wives, that's only a Yibam thing. There's a reason why we never thought about a co-wife until we up in Maseches Yevamos. That's only in a Yibam context that we have a problem of saros. The Gemara now asks a fascinating question. It's a crazy, crazy hobbyin that the Gemara has, and the Gemara says as follows. Amalei Rami Rechama L'Rava. The Gemara asks the following question. Ema erva gufei shela bo malko mitzvah tishtari. Maybe, when the Torah says not to marry your wife's sister, maybe that's also only in a Yibam context. What would that mean? That would mean if you go and you marry some girl, you're allowed to go and marry her sister. That's totally permitted. The only time you can't marry a wife's sister is in a Yibam context, which would be crazy. But the Gemara doesn't sound so crazy. Because again, think about this pasuk. You have a pasuk which says aleha, and it has two halachos. Halacha number one, you can't marry your wife's sister. Halacha number two, you can't marry the co-wife of your wife's sister. And then it says aleha. You should know, halacha number two, co-wives, that's only in Yibam. Well, why can't we say that halacha number one? When the Torah says achos isha, marrying your wife's sister, maybe that's also only b'makom aleha, only in a Yibam situation. So now we're going to struggle to kind of prove that arayos are forbidden in a non-Yibam context. But first the Gemara asks, isn't that crazy? V'lav kal v'chomer hu? Isn't it a kal v'chomer to say the opposite, that you should not be able to marry your wife's sister? Because b'makom mitzvah asira, if in a mitzvah context, we love doing mitzvos, and if one is a mitzvah to be done, you still can, it's still prohibited for you to marry your wife's sister. Shlo b'makom mitzvah sharia, is going to be permitted in a non-mitzvah, in a non-Yibam context? Obviously, if you can't do it for a mitzvah, you shouldn't be allowed to marry someone in a non-Yibam context. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar leit tsara tochiach. But that's exactly what we just said by tsaros. Again, co-wives are a Yibam thing. The b'makom mitzvah asira, v'shelo b'makom mitzvah sharia. Tsaros, co-wives, are a Yibam thing. They're only prohibited in a Yibam context. So maybe achos isha, your wife's sister, is also a Yibam thing. That's only in a Yibam context where you can't marry your wife's sister. But in a non-Yibam situation, you can go and marry a girl and her sister, and that would be totally fine. So that's the Gemara's question. How do I know you can't marry your wife's sister in a non-Yibum context? So the Gemara says, Amar le, alecha amar kra, bechayeha, kol she bechayeha. When talking about marrying your wife's sister, the Pasuk says, bechayeha, you can't marry your wife's sister while your wife is alive. Which tells us, kol she bechayeha, any case when your wife is alive, you cannot marry your wife's sister. I don't care if there's Yibam over here. I don't care if there's no Yibam. In all cases, if your wife is alive, you cannot marry your wife's sister. The Gemara asks, but that word of chayeha is needed to teach me something else. Hai bechayeha mi ba'ile lim ute le'achar misa. That teaches me a very important halacha, that while you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister, that's only while your wife is still alive. But after your wife is nifteres, you're allowed to marry your wife's sister. So that's what Bechayeha teaches me. So Bechayeha can't be what we're looking for to teach us that you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister in a non-Yibam context. So the Gemara says, no, that actually wouldn't be we have a different pasuk to teach us to not marry your wife, that you can marry your wife's sister after your wife is nifteres. Hahi meve isha lachosa nafka. The pasuk says you can't marry a woman or her sister, which implies while that your wife is alive, that's when you're not allowed. While she has to be your wife in order for the sister to be usher. So therefore, once your wife dies, la'achar misa, it would be mutter. So with that, the point being, Bechayeha is still open to teach us that you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister in a non-Yibam context. The Gemara says, but that's not enough. Imei ve'isha lachosa hava amina nisgarsha sharia. I would have thought that the pasuk says you can't marry your wife's sister as long as she is still your wife. So what does that mean? That may mean that if you divorce your wife, then you should be allowed to marry her sister. But that's not true. So tamilomar bechayeha. We need bechayeha to teach me kol she bechayeha de'af agav nisgarsha lo. That even if you got divorced, you still can't. Because as long as your wife is alive, you cannot marry her sister. So that's a short tangent, which is not going to be relevant for us at the conclusion of the Gemara, which is that you should know when we talk about marrying a wife's sister, that's only when your wife is still alive. If she dies, then you're allowed to marry your wife's sister, but divorcing your wife is not going to be enough. You can't marry a girl, divorce her, and then marry her sister. As long as your wife is still alive, her sister is going to be prohibited. But we're left with our question. to remind ourselves, our question is, how do I know that achos isha, marrying your wife's sister, isn't only a yibum thing? Just like co-wives are only prohibited in a yibum context, maybe your wife's sister is also only prohibited in a yibum context. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Dirava Trei Kraiksivi. I have another way of proving that achos isha is only prohibited in a yibum situation. It says two psukim, which really is the same pasuk. There are two parts of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ksiv isha el achosa lo si kach litzror." The first part of the pasuk says two prohibitions: you can't marry your wife's sister, and litzror, you can't marry the co-wife. And then the ksiv, it says at the end of the pasuk, "Legalos erva sa." You can't reveal this erva, which sounds like one person. Dechada mashma. In other words, if a pasuk which at first mentions a case, there is a case where your wife's sister and the tzara, there are two prohibitions. You can't marry your wife's sister in a certain case, nor the co-wife. And in another situation, you're only not allowed to marry the wife's sister, but you are allowed to marry the co-wife. So, aha, ketzad. The Gemara asks, how does that play out? So, that would mean, presumably it means, b'makom mitzvah shtehen asuros, that in a yibam situation, they're both going to be usur, meaning you can't do yibam with your wife's sister, and you can't do yibam with the co-wife of your wife's sister, and shelo b'makom mitzvah hi asura v'tzarasa mutares. And in a non-yibam situation, that's where we'll say that you can't do yibam with your wife's sister, in a non-yibam situation, that's where you can't marry your wife's sister, but you will be allowed to marry the co-wife of your wife's sister. So again, it's the kind of phrase what we have. A pasuk tells us, one part of the pasuk tells us that there are two things that you can't do. You can't marry your wife's sister, and you can't marry the co-wife of your wife's sister. Another pasuk tells us there's only one thing you can't do. There is a situation where all you can't do is marry your wife's sister, but the co-wife is permitted. So one case there's two prohibitions, and one case there's only one prohibition. So presumably, we said, in the yibum context is where there are two prohibitions. That's where we say, you can't do yibum with the erva, your wife's sister, or the co-wife of your wife's sister. And the end of the pasuk, which says only one prohibition, that's talking about in a non-yibum case. In a non-yibum case, yeah, you can't marry your wife's sister. That you can never do. You can never marry your wife's sister. But marrying the co-wife of your wife's sister, that's going to be permitted in a non-yibum context. That's the case where there's only one prohibition, the erva herself, but not the tsaras erva. The Gemara now asks, well, maybe you could say the opposite. Epoch ana, b'makom mitzvah hi asura, v'tsarasa muteres. Maybe it's the reverse. Again, all we know is the pasuk tells me there's one case where there is two prohibitions, erva and sara, and another case where there's only one prohibition, just the erva herself, just achos isha, but not sara. So we thought that maybe it's saying that in a yibum case, they're both usur, and in a non-yibum case, only the erva is usur, but the tsara, the co-wife, is mutter. But now we're saying maybe it's the opposite. Maybe in a yibum case, that's where there's only going to be one Avera, where you can't marry your wife's sister, but you could maybe do yibum with the tzara. And when it says shelo b'makom mitzvah, and when it says that there are two prohibitions, what's the case of the two prohibitions? That's shelo b'makom mitzvah. Maybe in a non-yibum context, that's where we say you can't marry your wife's sister or the co-wife of your wife's sister. Meaning we have a case where there's two prohibitions, your wife's sister and the co-wife. A case where there's only one prohibition of just your wife's sister. So maybe the case where we say that there's only, all that you can't do is marry your wife's sister, that's talking about yibum. But you could do yibum with the co-wife of your wife's sister. So now the Gemara concludes, Im kein lo yomar aleha. That's what I would have thought by default, and I wouldn't have needed a pasuk to tell me aleha to teach me anything over here. Because think about it. I have a pasuk telling me sometimes there's a lot of prohibitions, and sometimes there are a few. So by default, I would have thought logically, when there's a yibum, when there's a mitzvah to do here, that's when we have fewer prohibitions. So we'll say that in the yibum context is when that's when it meant there's only one prohibition, where you can't marry your wife's sister. And in a non-yibum context, that's where there's two prohibitions of your wife's sister and the tzara. That's what I would have thought without a pasuk. Because obviously, there are less prohibitions in a mitzvah case. So the pasuk comes and tells me, no, the pasuk says, aleha, to say, that when you're not allowed to marry your co-wife of your wife's sister, that's only a Yibum thing. But marrying your wife's sister, that's an all-the-time thing. So in a Yibum case, you can't marry your wife's sister or the co-wife of your wife's sister. And in a non-Yibum case, you can't marry your wife's sister, but co-wives are totally fine. Why? Because co-wives, again, are only a Yibum thing. You can marry the co-wife of an Erva in any other situation. Only by Yibum we say that you cannot marry the co-wife of an Erva. So we had a lot of back and forth, and it gets a little messy, so let's review exactly where we are holding right now. We started off with a question. We asked, why is there a pasuk telling me not to do Yibum with my wife's sister? I should know I can't do Yibum with my wife's sister. And we suggested three answers. The first answer was, ho of a ishtri ishtri. Maybe I would think I could do Yibum with my wife's sister. Why? Because maybe once we lift the prohibition of Eshesach, we should also lift the prohibition of Achos Isha. We already let you marry your brother's wife. Maybe we're also going to let you marry your wife's sister. That was answer number one. Again, in the very specific case, which we can review a bit later, of where Shimon gets married first, and then Shimon dies, and then Reuben gets married. So that's answer number one. Answer number two is, I would have thought that I should do Yibum even with my wife's sister, or an Erva, because of the Hekish, that tells me, just like Eishes Ach is permitted, so too all the other prohibitions are going to be permitted. The Pasuk tells me that you should not make such a Hekish. And now we have answer number three, which we have finally concluded. And that was Rava's answer. That you're absolutely right. I don't need a Pasuk to tell me not to do Yibum with my wife's sister. I already know that. In fact, I also know that I shouldn't do Yibum with the co-wife of my wife's sister. What is the Pasuk going to teach me? It's going to teach us that co-wives are a Yibum thing. Co-wives are only prohibited in a Yibum context. In a non-Yibum context, one is permitted to marry a co-wife. And we went back and forth trying to prove, well, how do I know that wife's sister also isn't just a Yibum thing? Maybe when the Torah says not to marry a girl and her sister, that's also only in a Yibum context? And we said that that's definitely not going to be the case. Now we have one final question before moving on to the next piece of Gemara. And the Gemara asks a question which really questions everything that we assumed all the way back on Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Ashi, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kana, Mimai Dehai Aleha Li'isura Dilma L'Hatira. This whole time we've been assuming that Aleha teaches me that in a certain case, Yibam is going to be prohibited. But maybe it's the opposite. Maybe Aleha actually teaches me that there's a certain case where Yibam is going to be permitted. And then how would that work? So the Gemara says, V'hachi kama rachmana. This is how you'd read the pasuk. Isha el achosa lo sikach litzror. You can't marry a woman and her sister, or the co-wife of your wife's sister. Lo hi velo tzarasa, not her nor the co-wife. But that's all shel lo b'makom aleha. In a non-Yibam context, ava b'makom aleha shtehen mutaros. But in a Yibam context, they're both going to be mutter. You'd be allowed to do Yibam with either of them. So that would mean that in a Yibam case, they're both going to be permitted. And in a non-Yibam case, they're both going to be prohibited. That's the Gemara asks, why do we always assume all the way back since Gimel Amud Beis that Aleha is teaching me that you cannot do Yibam? Maybe it's teaching me that you could do Yibam. So again, Velo Tzarasa, that's Shlo B'Makom Aleha. In a non-Yibam case, that's when they are prohibited. Ava B'Makom Aleha Shtei and Mutaros. In a Yibam case, they're both going to be permitted. The Gemara asks, Em Kain Legalos Erva, or Erva Sa, Dechada Heichi Mishkachasla. As we said a few lines earlier, we have a Yibam case and a non-Yibam case. One of them, there are two prohibitions. Your wife's sister and the co-wife of your wife's sister. And in one case, there's one prohibition. Just your wife's sister, but the co-wife is permitted. Based on how we just explained the pasuk, it would be two and two. That in a Yibam context, they're both mutter, and in a non-Yibam context, they're both going to be usser. But the pasuk tells us that there's one case where they're both usser, and there's one case where only one is usser. So that's an impossibility. That can't be. Because which is going to be the case where there's only one prohibition of just the erva? In a Yibam context, they're both mutter, they're both permitted. In a non-Yibam context, they're both prohibited. So it wouldn't fit with the pasuk. So therefore, it must be, as we've been assuming the whole time, that Aleha is teaching me a prohibition and not teaching me a case where Yibam is going to be permitted. Okay, fantastic. We have a two dots. So now we have answered our, we have given our three answers as to why I need a pasuk to tell me not to do yibam. We'll run through them all again at the end of the amud. So now let's continue with the Gemara says gufa. Let's quote something that we had quoted earlier on the previous amud. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe said, again, we learned that you should not do yibum with an erva or with the koei from a pasuk in Acharemos. That's the pasuk of Aleha. But Rebbe learns that same halacha from a different pasuk, a pasuk in Kiseitze, which says, Ulakacha v'yibma. Rebbe Omer v'lakach ulakacha v'yibem v'yibma lesor tsaros v'arayos. That's to prohibit doing yibum with a erva or a koei. Like Mara asks, Midi tsaros ksiva hacha? Where does this pasuk say anything about co-wives? It says yibum. It doesn't say the word co-wife anywhere, right? Our pasuk was great, because the pasuk that said aleha also said the word litzror. So we can say we're talking about co-wives in our pasuk. But this pasuk, so the pasuk in Acharemos of aleha, litzror, is a great choice. It says litzror, it's talking about co-wives. But what about this pasuk in Kiseitze? It says ulakacha, it says v'yima, it doesn't mention a co-wife anywhere. How do you learn anything about co-wives from this pasuk? And secondly, the ode, Tsaros Militzror Nafka. What about the pasuk in Acharemos, which we learn from in Gimel Amud Beis, Aleha, that pasuk, what do you use, which also says Litzror, isn't that where we learn co-wives? So Gemara answers question number two first. Litzror Mapik Le Rebbe Likid Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe uses Litzror for a different halacha, namely the halacha of Rebbe Shimon, which our Gemara gives no detail on, but Rashi fills us in, and I'm going to use a quick diagram to clarify what that case is. Is this the right one or the wrong one? This, I think, is the wrong one. There we go. We are good. Okay, cool. So we have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And they marry two sisters. Reuven marries Rachel, and Shimon marries Leah. And then Reuven and Shimon die, which means that Levi now has to do yibum with both Reuven's wife or Shimon's wife. But they both fall to Levi for Yibam. Reuben and Shimon are Levi's brothers. They both die, so their wives fall to Levi for Yibam. The problem is that those two wives are actually sisters of one another. So the Rabbanan say in that case, you should do Chalitza with both of them, which we're going to get to later on in the Masechta, on Chalchesa Medbez. But Rabbi Shimon, which is what Rebbe is going like, he learns from Litzror that you don't have to do anything. You don't have to even do Chalitza with both of them. You do absolutely nothing. Just like you are totally exempt from Yibam with an Erva or with the Tzaras Erva, Rebbe Shimon learns another case where you don't do Yibam is where the two women you have to do Yibam with are sisters of one another. So that's the case that Rebbe is going to use Litzror for, and therefore he can't use our pasuk of Litzror to teach that you can't do Yibam with a Tzara, with a co-wife, because he uses it for this other rule that you shouldn't do yibum with women that are sisters of each other, that they're both going to be completely exempt from yibum. So that's what he uses the tzarar for. But now we still have question number one. Tzara hachaksiv? Again, how could you learn this pasuk of ulakacha and v'yibma to teach me that I'm exempt from doing yibum with co-wives? This pasuk doesn't mention anything about co-wives. All it says is marry her and do yibum with her. So the Gemara explains, haki kamar, im kain lemakra belakach. My ulakacha. Why does it say marry her? You know what marry her sounds like? Marry her sounds like you have two options. You can marry this girl, or you can marry that girl. And the Torah says, marry this one. It's a case where you have Shimon had two wives, and then Shimon dies, and Reuben can pick. He can do yibum with girl number one, or he can do yibum with girl number two. In that case, we say that it's going to be permitted. Hi, Sharia. That's where yibum is permitted. Aval, or there doesn't say aval, but ve'ilo travayu asirin, ve'ilo travayu, but if they're not both options for yibum, then it's going to be prohibited. Meaning, Shimon had two wives, but you can't just choose one or the other, because one of them is your daughter, or one of them is your wife's sister. One of them is completely out of the picture. So in that case, in other words, if once one of them is permitted, is exempt from Yibum, everybody's going to be exempt from Yibum. That's how he learns co-wives from the pasuk of Ulikacha. Okay, I'll get it later. Thank you so much for showing me. So the Gemara says, that's how we learn from Ulakacha, that you do not do Yibum, you're exempt from doing Yibum with a co-wife. And V'yibma tells me, B'makom Yibum hu da'asir atzara, shalom b'makom Yibum shari atzara, that again, tzaros, co-wives, are a Yibum thing. They're only going to be prohibited in a Yivam context and a non-Yivam context. If your wife's sister goes and marries a guy who has another wife, that other person is totally mutter. Co-wives are totally mutter in a non-Yivam situation. So again, we learn tzaros from this pasuk of Alaha. Rabbi learns it from a different pasuk of Ulakacha and Viyima. So what do we? We didn't use Ulakacha and Viyima to teach us anything about co-wives. So what do we learn from Ulakacha? So we learn the following halacha of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina from Ulekacha. The Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina said, Ulekacha melamed shemegarsha beget umachzira. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina says the word Ulekacha teaches me that when you do yibam with a woman, she becomes your full-fledged wife. Which means, if you want to divorce her, you're gonna have to get a get, because that's what you do, the full-fledged wives. If you divorce them, you have to give them a get. Once you do yibum with a woman, the pasuk says ulekacha. Ulekacha is the key word for marriage, for kiddushin. Teaching us, when you do yibum with a woman, you are her full wife, and she is your full wife, and therefore you're going to need a get to divorce her. And similarly, umachzira. If you divorce her, as long as she hasn't married someone else in the meantime, you're allowed to remarry her. Which is a chiddush. I would have thought, again, as we said in the beginning, yibum is always a case of eshesach. It's your brother's wife. I would have thought maybe for yibum, you have one shot. You can do yibum right now and you can marry your wife and it's going to be a mitzvah. You can marry your brother's wife and it'll be a mitzvah and it's okay. But maybe once you divorce her, you can't remarry her. The pasuk tells me, ulekacha, that even once you divorce her, there's no concern of eshesach, of marrying your brother's wife anymore, and it's still going to be permitted because ulekacha, when you do yibum, it's a full-fledged marriage. And v'yibma, again, what do we learn from V'yidma? Rebbe uses V'yidma to learn this rule about co-wives. We learn co-wives from Alaha and Nitzror. What do we learn from V'yidma? So we learn this halacha of Al-Karcha, that one can do Yibum even against the will of the Yivama, of the surviving wife. The Rebbe, how does Rebbe learn these two halachos? The Rebbe Yosi Bar Chanina mili isha nafka. He learns that a yavama, when you do yibum, she becomes a full-fledged wife from a different pasuk of le'isha, that it's going to be your wife. And al karcha, he learns the other rule of you, one can do yibum against the surviving wife's woman's will. You can do yibam al karcha against her will from the yivama yavo aleha nafka, from a different pasuk of yivama yavo aleha. So let's review what we did today. We had this big question of why is there a pasuk to tell me not to do yibam with my wife's sister or any of the 15 arayos? And we had three answers why I would have thought that maybe you should do yibam with your wife's sister or any of those forbidden relationships. Answer number one was based on whole of ishtri. We have a rule that once prohibition A has been lifted, we're going to also permit prohibition B. And prohibition A is Eshazach. Normally, I mean, every case of Yibum is your brother's wife. And we let you marry this person even though it's your brother's wife. Maybe we should also let you marry this person even though it happens to be your wife's sister. Because how of a ishtri. And we explain specifically in the case where Shimon married and then died. So this woman was at one point permitted, and then the Achos Isha came into play. Then she ended up becoming also your wife's sister. In that specific case, I would have thought to say, Hol of ishtri, you should do yibum and marry your wife's sister. Pasuk tells me, no, don't do yibum. That was answer number one. Answer number two was that I would have thought you should do yibum with your wife's sister or any of those arayos because of a hekish. Just like eshes ach is permitted for yibum, so to all of the prohibitions, all of the forbidden relationships are going to be permitted when it comes to Yibum through a Hekish. They all are included in that same Pasuk and Acharemos, where it mentions that they're all going to be punished with Kares. So no, the Pasuk tells me don't do Yibum with your wife's sister or any of the Arayos. And answer number three was, you're right, Rava says. I don't need a Pasuk to tell me not to do Yibum with my wife's sister or even the co-wife of my wife's sister. That's all obvious, because an Aseh is not going to be Toche Elos Aseh Sheish Bo Kares. Of course I can't marry my wife's sister or even a co-wife, because those are punishable with Kares. So what is this Pasuk teaching me? It's teaching me that you should know, remember, co-wives are only a Yibum thing. They're only prohibited in a Yibum context. In a non-Yibum context, go ahead, you're allowed to marry the co-wife of your wife's sister, or the co-wife of your daughter, etc., etc. And then we struggle to just clarify that, okay, fine, co-wives are a Yibum thing, but maybe wife's sister is also a Yibum thing? Maybe you can marry your wife's sister whenever you want. You can go ahead and marry a woman and also go and marry her sister? The Gemara explains, no, that's definitely off the table. Marrying a wife's sister is not just a Yibum thing, that's an all-the-time thing. But Saros, co-wives, that's a Yibum thing. That's only in a Yibum context. In a non-Yibum context, you're allowed to marry the co-wife of your wife's sister. And then we went back to Rebbe. Rebbe had quoted a different pasuk of Ulakacha and V'yima, and he had learned his halachos of Tsaros from there. And so we wanted to clarify, what does he learn from our pasuk, and what do we learn from his pasuk? And we had various halachos which came out of that discussion. So we will just continue next week on Daf Tes of Yevamos as well. Have a good week. Thanks everyone for coming.